All right. Well, fantastic. Good morning, guys. Kind of feels like Sunday. I don't know why. It's great to be with you for this last session. I do have a ride, so that is awesome. So I'll be heading off to the airport after we're done here today. A few more books back there. It's no fun taking books home on a plane, so grab them if you want after we're done. And some of you have been asking, hey, where do I put the contact information card? A few of you have been handing them to me. I put a few along the aisle here. If you want to fill that out and just give it to me when we're done, please do that. Happy to connect and stay in touch in that way. And we're going to do three things over the next 40 minutes. So kind of a 20-minute and then a 10-minute and a 10-minute. And again, I want to end this session in a way where God actually gets the final word. And so in this spirit of hearing and doing, we're going to create some space towards the end for you to hear well from him in maybe a way you haven't done before. I guarantee there's no box of snakes. I guarantee it'll not be weird. I hope it'll be really peaceful and a time for you to hear well from him. Now, I did get a chance to talk to my wife and kids this morning, which was a lot of fun. Of course, my wife was asking me, hey, how's it going? You know what? I said, well, you know, our MC is actually really funny. And I told her, I said, you know, I'm thinking about maybe pulling out some of my jokes and whatnot. And she said, Brandon, just stick to your script. All right, just stick to the script. So, you know, sometimes mama knows best. And fair enough. But it has been so much fun. Really grateful to get to know many of you and to hear your stories and what God's up to and what your heart is for the future. And that's where I want to end today. I want to actually look again at Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, but from a completely different perspective than maybe you've looked at or that we've looked at here this weekend. And I want to spend just a few minutes on this passage. And I want to end with your heart. You know, the scripture tells us that because of Christ, we get a new heart. Right? He takes our heart of stone out, and he puts in a soft, malleable, Christ-centered, living for Christ, spirit-filled heart. And so I want to talk about the heart of the leader. Where's your heart? And what are some of the things that we can leave here with that really oomps our heart for Christ as business leaders, both personally and professionally? All right, God cares about your heart. We talk about the what, the when, the where, the how, and I think so often God's so interested in the who. Who are you becoming? I had a mentor when I was in the 20s. Every time I'd talk to him and all my hopes and dreams and anxieties and whatnot, and he'd always bring me back to who are you becoming? And for a long time, I'd be like, oh gosh, who cares? What does that even mean? Lord have mercy, you know, just help me here. And he'd always just gently bring me back to, but who are you becoming? As a Christ follower, as a leader, as a spouse, as a dad, who are you becoming? It's about your heart. And so we're going to look at Matthew 25, the heart of this master, the heart of this leader, all right? And what is the heart or the view of the master as he's engaging with these employees, as he's engaging with these servants that can be helpful for us as we engage as well? Now, this really is an incredible parable because there's some oddities. Number one is that the third guy, man, the master is so harsh on that third guy, and he doesn't seem wicked or lazy. I mean, he didn't lose the one bag of gold he got, all right? So that's kind of an oddity. And the other thing is that we're a world of fairness, but the master here, I mean, there's five, there's two, there's one according to their skill. And I bet sometimes you look at your employees and you're like, yeah, you deserve more responsibility, but I'm not quite sure about you yet. And sometimes people say, well, that's not fair. And what did our grandparents always tell us? Life isn't always fair, right? And so there's some realities with this master, some pragmatic things that I think we can connect with and we can resonate with as well. But the question I want to start off with is, do you have the heart of the Father for your team and for your business? And what are some things that we can pick up out of this simple parable, looking at it from the view of the master, not the servants, that helps us with our heart? Okay, and so I want to look at four things. Four things I see from this leader, from this master, from this owner, that I think can bless us and bless our heart here today. So four things, or four traits, you could say, that I want to walk through that challenge me in my leadership with my coaches and my team. And I hope they encourage and they challenge you here today. The first thing that's amazing is that he gives. The master gives. He is generous. Now, bags of wealth, bags of gold, as my Bible translation says it, is a lot of money. And so he's entrusting them not with a few pennies or a few dollars. It's not like, here's your allowance while I'm gone. He's entrusting, he's discharging with significant amounts of authority and power. And I believe as leaders, one of the ways we can differentiate ourselves is by being generous, a generosity model. He sees the woman at the well and he doesn't say, you have to pay me for this living water, or I expect you to do something. He says, here's living water. Here's bread of life. I am the vine. You are the branches. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He's generous. He allows people authority and responsibility. And so are there ways that you can be more generous? Are there ways that you can show your heart and your character by the way you sacrificially give of your time, the way you sacrificially listen when you've got 1,000 things to do? How can you be generous with all the capitals, not just financial? How can you share the parenting skills you've learned over the years with your younger employees? How can you share the things God's done in your life? What might, with all the capitals, a greater level of generosity look like? Not hoarding, but sharing the things God's done spiritually. All right? Sharing relationally the insight and tools, understanding you have. Sharing of your time in a more significant and sacrificial way. Sharing all the books you've read, the things you've learned. And of course, what does it look like to trust God, the one who can never outgive us with what he's given us so significantly and so much? He's generous. What does it look like for us to increase the level of generosity, just like we see here with the authorities, with the leader here to his servants? And one of the things that always challenges me is that God is always discharging his power. In Luke 9 and Luke 10, he's constantly saying, you can do it, go for it. And he even says to us, take as much power as you want. I'm never going to be out, right? Right? He says, you can do everything I can do and even greater things than these. My power is made perfect in your weakness. If you might just humble yourself, I'll be generous so that you can be generous as well. He gives so generously. Second thing, he's generous. He also makes space. He makes space. Now, it may be that it's 5, and then it's 2, and then it's 1, but everyone is still invited. There isn't a fourth servant who's in the corner sucking his thumb saying, why was I left out? It may be according to their ability, but at every level, he creates space for people to have a go. And too often, it's too easy to say, well, I can trust that one. I'm not sure about that one. What are the little ways you can give opportunities to prove themselves? What are the ways that you can give second chances, small opportunities to deploy? I'm sure in Luke chapter 9, when Jesus sends out the 12 and the 72, in Luke chapter 10 as well, I'm sure there are many of them that said, no, I'm not ready. No thanks. Go. Have a go. Anything worth doing is worth doing badly. Right? Thinking about riding a bike. It's worth learning. What happens the first 10 times? Right? Anyone here? It's worth driving a car. How good of a driver were you? It takes time to get good at any endeavor, and we're going to be bad at the beginning. That's okay. But sometimes we forget that with our employees, and we think there has to be a level that's so hard to attain just right off the bat that we forget that failure doesn't have to be fatal. All right, the leader here creates space, and 2 happen to do really well, and 1 doesn't. And there is a harsh rebuke, there is accountability, but it's still the opportunity that everybody gets a chance to play. And that's the way it is in our life. It's not, oh, well, you came to Christ too late in life. Sorry, you just got to wait for heaven. Right? God's never done with us. There's always chances for redemption. Just like with Peter, there's always that opportunity to come back on board. In fact, Scripture is so clear, favoritism's forbidden. Everybody gets to play. And so according to their talent, according to their skill, what does it look like for you to create more space? Because I guarantee in this room, there is somebody in your life, if not multiple people in your life, that at some point gave you a chance. They gave you a chance on the baseball team. They gave you a chance in the drama club. They gave you a chance in college. They gave you a chance and said, well, I'm not sure in your resume and your grades, but you know what? I'll hire you. I got the job. People out there are desperate for someone willing to believe in them enough to give them a chance and to see things in them that they don't even see in themselves. Right, what does it look like for you to create space? I'll never forget, one of my mentors had me go along with him at a conference he was speaking at. And it was kind of a couple keynote sessions, and then it was workshops and breakouts. And the day before, he said, you know what, I'm kind of tired. Whew, you know, given these big speeches and stuff, I think you'll lead the workshop tomorrow. Right? And it's like, you know, no. Right? He goes, no, I think you can do it right now. And looking back, that workshop went just okay. And he came in, we kind of team taught it, and he rescued me multiple times, and it went fine and all that. But thank God. Thank God he gave me a go. Because if he hadn't, I would have never been ready. Right? Your employees are never ready. It's never a good time. What does it look like for you to create the space? Just like God always says there's space. Have a go. You'll fumble and it'll be awkward. But over time, with enough reps and enough repetition, you'll get there. Allow people to create the space to make the contribution. So he's generous. He gives. Secondly, is he trusts development over expertise. He creates space. We're in the business of developing people, right? Which means we train well and we know that failure isn't fatal. Thirdly, he celebrates. I love this one. He celebrates. Let me go ahead and read it to you. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling the small amounts, so now I will give you even more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. And the insinuation here in the Greek is a long time of celebrating. This is not high fives, now go back to work. All right. This is Thanksgiving. This is cake and ice cream. Let's make a big deal of this. Let's celebrate together. Not here's a gift card. Not here's $50. Let's celebrate together. I don't know about you, but the best times of my life are times of celebration. I'm up for a nice meal. I'm up for a great dinner with good friends. I'm up for getting together and saying praise God for what he's done. That's what Paul tells us in Philippians. Everything with what? Prayer and thanksgiving. Celebration is our acknowledgement of what God's done. It's an act of worship. And I think as Christians, we shouldn't have to be remembered and reminded to celebrate. It should be something that we do often and do well. The joy of the Lord is our strength. All right, it's in courage. It's in putting courage in our celebration and our gratitude. He celebrates. Who on your team do you have the tendency to unfortunately take for granted that you need to go back this week and make it right and do some kind of celebration and say thank you? I was away this weekend and I didn't think about a thing because I knew you were in charge, and I don't tell you thank you enough. In fact, let's celebrate. Your wife, your kids, my house, spaghetti, it's on. Right? He celebrates. We have this opportunity to see, not only with the five talent and the two talent, it's the same verse. I love that. We don't celebrate less with the two talent person. We celebrate just as much. There's a sign and a value we have for our organization. It says, until further notice, celebrate everything. Until further notice, we're going to celebrate everything. Because we believe everything with prayer and thanksgiving. Who do you need to celebrate? How can you celebrate more often? And how can you do it in a way that gives God all the glory and is an experience of worship and adoration for the goodness of God in our lives? So the heart of the Master is a heart of generosity. The heart of the Master is discipleship. It's creating space, allowing people to have a go, even when they don't think they're ready. It's okay. Failure isn't fatal. And the heart of the Master is joy. Celebration allows you to bring about that fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And lastly, a little zinger here. He holds them accountable. All right, there is accountability. We believe in high accountability, low control. High expectation, high deadline, but we're not going to micromanage. We're not going to treat you like a teenager. All right, we'll help you as much as you want, but you're an adult. The expectation is follow through, completion, and get it done. And there is accountability here. If we didn't throw this in here, it'd kind of feel like a unicorns and rainbows speech. Right? There is accountability. We see that with Jesus. Right? He talks to the woman at the well, and he does say, after, I will give you living water. The truth is, you've had five husbands. You're not even married to the person you're with now. And in John chapter 5, the next chapter, there's the man. He's lame. And what does Jesus say? Do you want to get well? Of course he wants to get well. He heals the man. And what does he say? Two verses later. Go and sin no more. Peter, on this rock I will build my church. And then, stand behind me, Satan. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And great leaders have such a heart for their people that they love them enough to tell the truth. I have had so many people that have given me harsh criticism and critique that I haven't really appreciated in the moment. I'm getting better at it. But you know what? That's the feedback I come to appreciate the most. And now I'm skeptical of people who don't give me some kind of feedback or critique. And I wish I could say that now I'm to a place where I really want it. But I do appreciate it. And I respect it. And I know I need it. Are you really loving someone if you're not willing to tell the truth around the things you see that can make them better in life? I don't think so. Here the Master, whether we agree with the comments or not, tells the truth about that third servant. And so in this politically correct world, right, we need as Christians to be the ones that know how to rightfully speak the truth in love. Don't speak the truth in anger. Don't speak the truth in cynicism. Don't speak the truth in negativity. Speak the truth in love. Be bold enough and courageous enough. Love people well enough to speak the truth. And so who do you need to celebrate? Who do you need to be a little bit more honest with? Who do you need to release a little bit of control and create some space for? And where might you be a little bit more generous so that your heart mirrors that of our Father in heaven, who loves us enough and is so generous enough to send his one and only Son. Right? That is so giving that he gives us all the space to have a part to play in his story. And who sings and celebrates over us each and every day and loves us enough in our simple, small voice to talk to us about the things we need to grow into. So that every day we're more and more like Christ. And so I pray you leave here saying, God, mold my heart. Help me to look more like you. I want to look more like you in the way I give, in the way I create space, in the way I celebrate, and in that celebration, the way I speak truth, out of love, to help people go after all God has for them in life as well. Amen? Amen. Awesome. Well, hey, take a moment. Just jot down which, maybe one of those four stuck out more than the others. Share with the person next to you what resonates. As promised, we're going to take just a few minutes to look at two additional exercises that are about you and your participation. That's kind of my end, if you will, but I want to lead you to two other things that allow God to have the final say. And so as we transition, would you just take a moment and reflect on those four things and share with the person next to you what resonates the most. 3 years, I tried to kind of do an in-depth read of is Revelation. And every once in a while, it's just fun to dive in and remember that that we win, right? And praise God for that. The ending's already written, which I love. But in Revelation chapter 12, it has this fantastic verse. It says that we defeat the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of the believers. Right? The blood of the Lamb is done. But we get to give testimony all the time of what God's done and what God is doing in our life each and every day by our prayers and by our praise. And so one of the things I love to do in the final session is allow us to give some testimony to what God's done, even in the time that we've been away. You know, Revelation happens on retreat. Whenever God wants to hear from the Father, he gets away. Right? He's up all night. He hears who the 12 are supposed to be. He gets up early in Mark chapter 1 to hear what he's supposed to do for that day. Luke 5 says that Jesus oftentimes got up early to go and hear from the Father and pray. And so what we want to do is we want to have some testimony. We want to give you some time to really share what God's done. And the way we're going to do this is I'm going to give you a minute to think about two things. Number one is, what do you need to leave behind? If you've come in here and you've taken on new perspectives and you've taken on new insights, that probably means that some old paradigms and some unhelpful mindsets and behaviors need to go away. And so the first testimony is one of pruning. What do you need to leave behind? Maybe you need to leave behind fear. Maybe you need to leave behind Jesus as my Savior, but he's not interested in my business. Right? Maybe you need to leave behind expertise as opposed to creating space. What is the one thing you need to leave behind here at this conference, never to be picked up again? And then the second thing is, what do you need to take away? If you're going to leave something behind, let's take something away. What's your number one takeaway? Maybe it's courage. Maybe it's confidence. Maybe it's Jesus the Builder. Maybe it's hearing and doing. Maybe God's not done with me yet. In a word or a statement, not a sermon, please, and a word or a statement, what do you need to leave behind and what do you need to take away? And we're literally going to ask maybe 10 or so people to stand up and share their takeaway and leave behind. And this is going to literally be, after I give you a minute to think about it, we don't want to put anybody on the spot, but let me just model this, okay? It's literally going to be, I'm taking away courage and I'm leaving behind fear. We can clap, we can praise, we'll go to the next one. I'm taking away Jesus the Builder, I'm leaving behind Jesus of my personal life only. All right, it's going to be that quick rapid fire of just statements in the next person, statements in the next person. And we want to celebrate each person that shares, okay? So we're not asking for 10 sermons, okay? All right, we're asking for 10 statements. I'm leaving behind X, I'm taking away Y. All right, but whether you get to share or not, we want everyone in this room to write something down. What's God done this weekend? Give him that testimony, at least by writing it down and maybe on the way home sharing it with who you're with. So 1 minute on your own, write down. Sorry. 1 minute on your own so we can do the testimony. Just what's the one thing you're leaving behind? And what's the one thing you're taking away? Don't overthink it. And we'd love for you to kind of stand up. Scott's going to come around with the microphone, and we'd like to have, you know, anywhere from 8 to 12 people to share. Please don't be bashful, okay? You're just lengthening out the process. I can call in people if I need to. Amen. Here we go.
Okay. Is no work and all work and no play makes Johnny a dull boy. I want to take away the work and do some playing together as a team.
Amen. Let's celebrate that. Woohoo! Come on. Love it.
I'm leaving behind, it all depends on me, and I'm taking forward, trust God to direct your steps.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome.
Just stand up if you want the mic.
I'm going to leave the old boat captain and get a new one.
Amen. Fantastic. Come on. Now, the women's are usually better than the men's, so if we could have some women share as well. Okay. Who else wants to share? Yeah, we got one up here.
Leaving behind controlled selfishness and putting ahead more risky, vulnerable generosity.
Amen. Come on. Woo-hoo. Excellent.
I don't know exactly what I'm leaving behind, but what I'm going to take, there's lots of things to leave behind. What I'm going to take is there's no greater faith than a man who sows, plants, and I want to reap and sow and fertilize. That's agricultural language.
Yeah.
We can all understand with joy, with joy. And that's something that's hard for a business person to exude always.
Amen. Amen. Come on. Joy of the Lord. A few more? Awesome.
I want to leave behind fear and doubt and take away courage and faith.
Awesome. And do you want to hand the phone to your lovely wife? Does she want to go next? I figured she did. That smile told me that.
I just wanted to say, I want to leave behind that all depends on me and just take way more celebration.
Awesome. Fantastic. Any other ladies want to share?
I love the Peter session.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave behind the emptiness and hurt and embrace life to the fullest.
Wow. Awesome. Amen. Amen. It's awesome. Hey, we can leave it on that one. All right. Hey, another round of applause. Thanks so much for sharing, guys. Like I said, I want to give God the final word, and I want to lead you through just a few-minute meditation to allow God to speak to your hearts and to speak to your life. And with the inspiration for what I'm going to read comes, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and get quiet and listen to Him while I read something. But the inspiration comes from the Psalms. You know, the Psalms were meant to encourage the people with imagery, to spark their imagination of a vision of a holy, loving God that cares for them, who watches over them, and who is with them. And so, for example, it says, the godly flourish like palm trees, growing strong like the cedars of Lebanon. They're transported into the Lord's own mansion, His own house. Yes, the courts flourish with our God. Even in their old age, these cedars will produce fruit. Yes, the Lord is king. He is robed in beautiful colors and majesty. Indeed, the Lord is robed in majesty, armed to strength, and on His throne. Right, the vision there, right, of these palm trees, these courts, this mansion, is what the Psalms are meant to do. And so I want to read a meditation that is designed to allow God to visually enter your mind and speak to your heart. Some listening prayer, some guided prayer, to allow Him to have the final say in our time together. Okay? So I'm going to read this and just ask you to close your eyes, be still, and allow Him to speak into your heart as we wrap up this final session today. A guided meditation to connect with our Lord Christ. Everyone in this room, please make sure that you're comfortable. If you're in a chair, take the time to sit upright. Put both feet on the floor, legs uncrossed, and have your arms relaxed. Now close your eyes and give God the space to speak to you here today. To begin, imagine yourself in a favorite place. Your favorite place in the whole world. your favorite place and the world that God's created. In this place, become aware of what you can feel, what you can see, what you can smell and taste and hear. Give yourself permission to be at rest in this place that God's created. Feel your body relax as you become aware of your senses. Give your mind permission to be fully present in this place that you have chosen. In this moment, nothing needs to be attended to. In your mind, write down any to-do thoughts that are keeping you from being fully present in this space. As you are at rest in this place, imagine God the Father, from a far-off distance, is walking towards you. Become aware of the Father's footsteps. Become aware of what you can hear, see, and taste. He's now coming closer, almost there. Become aware of your emotions as God the Father approaches. Don't judge them. Simply observe and acknowledge them. As your Father in heaven comes close, what does he say? What does he do? In this place, is there anything that you would like to say back to your Father? Your Father has a final word for you. Take a moment to receive it. Now, Father God moves off to one side, and you see Jesus now approaching from a distance. He is smiling, walking expectantly towards you, his gaze and his eyes fixed on you in this place. How do you feel? What do you see and hear as he comes close? What does Jesus want to say to you? Is there anything you'd like to say to him? Feel free to speak. Jesus is listening. Jesus now goes to join Father God along to the side, and it is now the turn of the Holy Spirit. As the Spirit approaches, become aware of how you visualize the Spirit. What emotions arise? Don't judge them. Simply observe and acknowledge. As the Holy Spirit comes close, what does he say? What does he do? Father God and Jesus now join the Holy Spirit. All three are in front of you standing. Take some time to look at each one of them. They are delighting in you. Let their joy and smile and love radiate over you. Let them refresh, empower, and restore you. You are their special possession. Enjoy the simplicity of being in the presence of the Trinity. It is now time to get ready to leave this place. As part of the preparation, Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit have a surprise for you. They would like to offer you a gift. Will you receive the gift? Right now, become aware of what the gift is, what it is for, and why this gift they have chosen is so special and specifically for you at this time. As they now reveal the gift, feel free to receive it. Feel the weight of it. Observe the intricacy of this gift. What does it mean? What is it for? It's been especially chosen for you. As you thank them for the gift and prepare to leave, become aware of any final words that God would like to say to you in this place, and anything you'd like to say to them in return. It is now time to say goodbye to the Trinity and to this place. Say goodbye and slowly allow yourself to become accustomed to your surroundings. Become aware of the chair you're in, the noises in the room, and anything else that you can feel, see, or taste. When you're ready, open your eyes and take a minute to journal anything that you like to remember about this time, intentionally in the presence of God in this place. Continue to keep journaling if that's helpful for you. If you'd like to share with the person next to you about your experience, something that maybe you talked to God about or God talked to you about or the gift that you received, this would be your time to do so. After a few minutes of journaling and processing, Scott will come up and lead us in our final session.